Okay. And then there was Jenny. Funny thing about Jenny, did I tell you all about Jenny? I'm still looking for my sermon. Well, I've sort of been on a little spiritual odyssey the last couple of weeks, being so off balance and trying to stay mobile and keep all the other obligations, things I've got my fingers into these days, moving. And trying to hear God and have Him speak to me has been a challenge. And all on my end, you understand, that's usually the case. And so trying to communicate message, I think, are vital to us as a congregation in the weeks and months coming ahead. And hearing what God would have us to hear. So today's message is Unbound and Set Free. The first text I'm taking is from Luke 4, 16 through 19. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then I'd like to layer that with our passage. I'm just going to bring the last couple of verses back, 43 and 44 from John 11. When Jesus had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Let us pray. Father, by the aid of Your Spirit, preach to our hearts. Use the human voice if necessary, Lord, but following the path that You've had each of us on, the journey of our own personal discipleship and our discipleship as a congregation, God, help us open wide the windows and doors to receive every particular thing You have for each one of us personally. This will be a miracle of Your Spirit interacting with our spirit. And we praise Jesus for it in His name. Amen. So, kind of sticking with the skunk thing, because I'm loath to let a good joke just die naturally. But we have been chased around by odor for quite some time. And we went to a hotel for a brief time, and when we found that the clothing we'd had with us before the incidents were running out, we had to go back and forage for some other clothing, which we took back to the hotel with us. Even there, it could not be escaped because of the clothing in the closet that we put in that closet in that hotel. Every time we opened the door, the skunk smell leapt out at us. This is no joke. This is true stuff. So it followed us for like two solid weeks. And this is because, all because a certain skunk, Peppy is what we called him affectionately before he died. And over here on this side, Mr. Possum, who apparently tried to share the same space with him under the house. We didn't know Mr. Possum was there, but that's the only explanation for catching a possum and a skunk from out from under the house. So we see a scenario set up here where the two just couldn't get along in the same space. So they're constantly spraying under the house for weeks and weeks at a time. And this is bad enough, except because I'm a spiritual wacko, and many of you give me a lot of grace for that anyway, the questioning in my heart was, what does this mean, Lord? What are you trying to say? Because this wasn't the only time a skunk ever got under my house. But then there were the times that I haven't told you and you haven't heard about when skunk came into conversation naturally through the weeks that followed. And this idea that there was a stench or odor, something highly unpleasant, and it was attaching itself to me and joy. So I always have to turn spiritually to say, God, what is going on here? I believe I've heard from God on that, and as God, a loving Father, does, He will reveal things without yelling or screaming or even making you feel bad. But He can make you repent. He can make you aware of what's going on through the Holy Spirit. Tied to all of this, coupled with it all, is the time in which we live. We live in a time of unprecedented and prolonged mass hysteria and mental illness. We've all experienced this. The sources are many, but not without a single unifying, collective, and demonic voice. Advances in electronic media in the last 25 years, and the institutions swayed by and immersed in the social upheaval it creates, have brought a climate in the years since 9/11/2001 of anxiety disease in our families and fear. We have adult generation with children now who grew up as children in that time, exposed to the fears and anxiety of a nation and our families. Their personalities, their lives, their outlook, and their future being shaped by anxiety they've learned to live with. Constant old friend and fear itself. Even those who benefit from such upheavals are driven deeper into the despair it creates. And we've all been victims of its psychological and spiritual displacement. Even the church has been leg swept into the moral collapse of first world culture. We've been presiding at the collapse of our culture. While the world, especially the first world, has been making stupendous advances in science of all kinds, all the sciences, it has correspondingly discarded a belief in the supernatural, especially in a supernatural God. While discarding superstitious beliefs, all the while a great spiritual war is being waged against the kingdom of God. The point of the spear in this spiritual war is supposed to be the church. But sadly, the church has been crippled by the same forces and the same causes as the world in which we live. You no longer have a supernatural God, somehow holding a belief in a God that is there somehow and created everything from nothing. And oh boy, the story behind that must be incredible, but He's not supernatural. He's not above or extra or outside of nature, but somehow confined within its limits and laws. You no longer have a supernatural God. You do not believe in a supernatural world. Conjures up images of tribesmen and medicine men praying and doing rain dances. And we discard all that. We throw the baby out with the bathwater. While claiming to be Christians, the church is really practically atheist. In practice, atheist. Practically atheist means practically, in practice, atheist. What does the church do, after all, that insists on belief in a supernatural God? Just what do we do officially with a vote or with a decision to take action that we believe in or stand upon the unsteady floor of supernatural belief? We who say we worship Jesus as God, who himself claimed to be God in human flesh. He claimed to have supernatural abilities. John Wesley himself said that Jesus would set aside the apparent laws of nature. He said apparent because they were humanly apparent laws that we have identified, but we know nothing of the actual workings of God's dealings with his nature or his creation. God, who is preparing the church for final conflict. I'll say it again. God, who is preparing the church for final conflict, calls to us today. In our slumbering stupor, or in our disinterested or cultivated disengagement, to say, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh, even as you hear this. Wake up, thou who sleepest. Arise from your slumber. Christ will shine on you. I'm tired. You're tired. We've been under some strain for quite a number of years. But folks, our stress has shown in the lives of people who aren't even teenagers yet. It's shown up in the fabric of American culture and our families. And social media continues to hold everyone off balance. And God is pouring out the Holy Spirit on the church. Jesus stood up and declared quite unnaturally in his home church, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me supernaturally to set aside the things that are hurting you, the things that are causing you pain. God has enabled me, Jesus Christ, to do these things and to set those in bondage free. Lay that over against this moment at the empty tomb, which we all say, I believe if I asked every one of you, you'd say you believe the story. That Jesus, standing outside of an empty tomb in a graveyard, surrounded by mourners and scoffers, calling out to a grave, come out. Setting aside fundamental laws of nature. And the interesting part of the scripture there that said they protested saying, Lord, he's been dead 4 days and what?
Stinks.
He stinks. This is a good word from the Lord today. To say, even though there is the stench of a grave, even though decay has set in and the natural has begun to disintegrate, I myself can speak life. I can say, come forth. And guess what? A living, breathing body will step forth. Don't smell the t-shirt, though. It stinks. And finally, a moment to repent. Because I've been saying to you for a long time, keep your eyes on the ball. You know, this is a shifting, bouncy ball. This ball goes all over the place. Sometimes your head goes like this, and that's just in the evening news cycle. Keep your eyes on the ball. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Kamala Harris. It's not even a political solution. Keep your eyes on the one who can raise the dead. Keep your eyes on the one, Jesus, who can cast out demons and make them go. And set on notice the gates of hell and the forces of hell and say, your time is numbered. Personally, what God has been saying to me is, He put all of these tools in my own hands, as God does, when disciples seek such things. But here's the thing. You should never pray, especially out loud in front of other people, to receive these gifts, unless you intend to wield them. And I guess I thought I was teaching. I guess I thought I was telling. I guess I thought I was letting you decide who's in and who's out. But folks, you're either in or you're out. And I was not taking you by the hand and saying, let's pray over this supernatural problem. This problem in the natural that has only a supernatural solution. Let's pray. Let's call it out. Let's see it go. And you know what? As often as I've done that in my ministry, a lot didn't happen. But there were moments that are printed, seared into my conscience when it did happen in a supernatural way. It ruined my life. It ruined the trajectory of my ministry. How many times have I stood at a door, either that one or one in Chester, to hear a person in my own congregation say to me as an aside, what do you really believe? You don't really mean all that. Well, I should have said stuff. I do believe it because I've lived it. And every day that I don't practice it or teach it or take your hand and say, believe with me, I suffer. I live in a bubble that wants to explode all the time because of my failure. And finally, after 4 days, I stink. God is calling on the church to call an audible and say, I knew this time would come. Don't slumber your way through it. Don't fall asleep. Because things can happen. And they often do. To have people in this world say they're going to recover our cultural morality through politics, to restore a nation's foundations which belong in the family through elections, mocks God. Read Romans 13. God orchestrates the governments of the world. They serve at His pleasure. What should the church do? The church should stand up, as the Global Methodist Church is intent on doing, and wield its supernatural sword of the Spirit. And you can still choose to slumber. And you can still choose to ride the fence. But folks, you got counted in. You're the ones who are in. You're here for more than the ride. As you prove over and over again, when the mission is made known, you put your hands to work. When the mission is needed and urgent, this congregation responds. And until we become a beacon in this room where people enter not knowing what the outcomes might be, but something is going to happen. Until the church is electric and alive again with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And Wesley brought that savor upon his... Wesley was never a Methodist, but he created Methodists for a reason. How does it matter at a time like this? It only matters if you're willing to step into it. And I know it's about trust, but my failure to gain anyone's trust over 17 years, that's on me. So this isn't really a sermon at you as much as informing you. Come and pray with me. I don't really think there should be a leader in this church who serves another day until they have prayed with me for healing and, frankly, deliverance. The early church baptized as a form of deliverance. It was a way of coming out from under the dominion of darkness and coming into the light, declaring to Satan that there were people who were being set free from bondage. How about you today? And just say in your mind to me, if you can, I am unbound and I am free. And if you cannot say that for yourself, then say why. Because this same magical belief in secular things is hanging our culture to a swinging death. And there is only one escape path, really. How can a country regain its moral foundation? Has it ever, ever in the history of society been done? If that's a sinking boat, if the very thing our country was founded on can't be recovered, what kind of people should we become? I pray that you'll hear me talking to myself today, the reflections caused by a stupid skunk. Realize that there may be something there for you as well. I implore you to join me in recovering true supernatural faith in God who's not limited by your circumstances at all. Here's the thing. Lazarus died again. It's not magic. Lazarus went on with the knowledge that what he'd been, where he'd been, and he was going to die again. And so, our battles, they're not cut and dried, are they at all? But I'm just saying the Lord is chastising me for not setting you free to do what he wants you to do. The Lord is chastising me to tell you more and to lead you more into places, the only places where there's healing, the only places where you can be truly set free. And I pray and challenge that you will join me in going there. Amen. Won't you join me for the great Thanksgiving?